Yes, sir. Oh, yes. And I step up on the scale. I can't weigh 50. 50 ain't enough. I can't weigh 75. 75 won't do. I can't weigh 85. 85 ain't enough. I cannot weigh 95. 95 ain't enough. I heard, yes, I heard. I heard songwriters saying 99, 99, 99, 99, 99 and a half. Sure won't do. No, I got to make 100. Oh, yes, I have. 100 in helping somebody. 100 in going when I don't feel like going. 100 giving up my rights for my fellow man wrong. Yes, I have. Good evening now, church. That day, I've said that day when we get up on the scale, don't get up with your chest out. Don't get up feeling you're better than nobody else. I heard, yes, I heard the writer saying at the name of Jesus, every, yes, sir, every knee, sure got to bow. Yes, it will. Yeah. Oh, that day. Oh, that day. I'm going in. When I get up on the scale, I'm going to be able to look my God in the face. I ain't going to be found wanting. I'm going to say, Lord, I've done my best. Yes, I did. It might have been small, but I've done my best. It might have been puny and feeble, but I've done my best. I tried, Lord. Yes, I tried. They wouldn't listen to me, but Lord, I tried. They wouldn't hear me, but Lord, I tried. I prayed for them, but they turned their back on me. Lord, I cried. I sung to them. Yes, I tried. I did my best. That's what I want to hear. My best.
You were blessed and revived by the Carrying Life of Gospel Hour.
Yes, I tried.
As we venture back in the past, our time
trying to stop her. But let me tell you, I don't know what happened that night in Belshazzar's ball. I don't know what happened when Daniel told Belshazzar about the handwriting on the wall. But if I,
ladies and gentlemen,
if I had been there,
the gospel,
he was reading my sins. If I had been there,
this
he was telling me I've done wrong. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder, and the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul, come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you. Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's one of the songs for the Mosley Talk a few years ago. All right, amen, amen. That's real nice. We thank God for our choir. Amen. And I want us to be in prayer for them this weekend, because I am sensitive to the fact that most of, if not all of these people work every day. And then they sacrifice, amen, to come out to regular rehearsal. And then this week, they're going to come out to two or three rehearsals and then sing on Saturday night. Amen. So let's pray for them. And let me say to our young people, I want you to be here for the workshop. Young people, you have to come with the mind to learn, not to play, not to clown. And see, I don't have to say anything because Brother Moses is not going to tolerate it. So y'all need to come with the right spirit. And all of us can benefit, amen, by doing ministry better. It is my responsibility as pastor of this church, amen, to train all of our ministries. Amen. Just as you allow me to be trained when you send me off to conferences and conventions, amen. I'm not there playing golf, Reverend Dawson. Amen. I've been learning something so that I can better teach you. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God bless you. In the book of Genesis, chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 7 and 8. Amen. Y'all ought to be there by now. Genesis, first book in the Bible. All right, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Cutright. Verses 7 and 8. Let's read together. The angel of the Lord, I'm reading from the New International Version. So let's read it from the King James Version, then we'll read it from the New International Version. Let us read.
And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go?
That's enough. Amen. And let me read it from the New International Version. It says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And for just a few moments this morning, as you take your seats, as we embark upon the Thanksgiving holidays, I want to just speak from the subject, so much to be thankful for. So much. Amen. I'm glad to see that spirit, because many times folk, amen, enter the Thanksgiving season without really considering all that they have to be thankful for. And so as we approach the holiday, I want to just give us some reminders. Amen. Some reminders of what we have to be thankful for. Thank you, ushers. And I know it's a little warm. Amen. If you're warm, just know I'm warmer, all right? So much. Tell your neighbor, I've got so much to be thankful for. Amen, amen. God bless you. Y'all, I love the hymns of the church. Songs like, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. I love the hymns of the church. Songs like, What a Fellowship. I know we don't sing them a lot anymore, amen, but those songs really have meaning and substance. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up as a child in this church, I cannot help but to remember the hymns of the church. Brother Roosevelt Edison and Sister Cora Wilson, amen, they taught us many of the songs that I know even today, songs like Trust and Obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. songs that gave me strength and encouragement, songs that even challenged me to draw closer to God. Songs like Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Amen. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. As a matter of fact, most people from my generation and those who are from generations prior to mine are familiar with the hymns of the church. Now, you younger folk, all y'all know for the most part is praise and worship. And there ain't nothing wrong with praise and worship. It's wonderful. It's good. Amen. But is there anybody here who can celebrate the fact that you learned some of the great hymns of the church? Amen. In times of crisis and catastrophe, have you ever found yourself singing your favorite song? I mean, without even really thinking about it. Amen. And not just in times of crisis and calamity, but even in times of joy and jubilation, the hymns of the church come to mind. Every now and then, every believer ought to have a song in your heart that helps you to get from one place to another. Do I have a witness today? One of the hymns of the church that we still sing sometimes in Sunday school is a song called Count Your Blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Then you'll be surprised at what the Lord has done. How many of you have taken the time to actually count your blessings? Well, as we approach Thanksgiving, how many of you have really taken the time to assess exactly what you have to be thankful for? How many of you have taken the time to think about the good, great, and gracious things that the Lord has done for you? Have you talked about or thought about or even considered those things that the Lord has done for you? Watch this, that you could not have done for yourself. I'm talking about those miracles that God provided, those mountains that the Lord crossed you over, those valleys that he brought you through. Every now and then, every believer ought to just take a little time to count their blessings. They used to say, God, the old deacons in the old church, they had a familiar, peculiar way of praying, and they would say almost in every prayer, they would say stuff like, God, we thank you for a day that you have made. We thank you, God, for the clothes on our back and the shoes on our feet and for shelter over our heads and for food on our tables. They were simply reminding us through prayer how important it is to count your blessings. It really served as a reminder that God had continually and continuously given to them what they could not have given to themselves. We were taught, amen, as it relates to our blessings, we were taught to enumerate them. We were taught to think about them. We were taught to write them down. And every now and then, all of us ought to consider counting our blessings. I mean, before we ask God for anything, sometimes we need to pause and thank God for what he has already done. Do I have a witness today? Because if you really learn how to count your blessings, you won't have so many pity parties. Oh, I can't get a witness. If you will really learn how to count your blessings, you will not have so many negative circumstances, and you will have a whole lot more positive experiences. If you learn how to count your blessings, you will not walk around complaining all the time, depressed and defeated and dejected. When you count your blessings, I discovered you get a little pep in your step. You get a little glide in your stride. When you count your blessings, a smile will show up on your face. When you count your blessings, trouble does not seem to be as bad as others may think it is. And I'm just convinced that's why some folk can come in church on Sunday, not say amen, not clap their hands, won't stand up, won't smile, won't even grin, because they have forgotten all that the Lord has done. But somebody said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, y'all have to excuse me, when I think about how many doors he's opened for me, when I think about how many ways he's made, when I think about how he picked me up and turned me around and
place my feet on solid ground. Y'all, I gotta get my praise on. Tell your neighbor to stop counting your hardships and start counting your blessings. Come on, tell that other neighbor, stop enumerating your hardships and make a list of your blessings. Is there anybody here that can testify that when I look back and think things over, after all that I've been through, I still have joy because I'm reminded of how good God has been to me? If you know he's been good, come on, put those hands together and give him praise. Well, in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis, y'all, we find a sister who's having a pity party. We find a young woman who's having some issues with the life she is now living. We find a sister who is displeased with the hand that she has been dealt. She is a young woman who has found herself in a situation that seems to be beyond her control. She's in a place where she really don't want to be, Bruce Smith. She seems to be handcuffed by hopelessness. She seems to be handcuffed by helplessness. And it seems that she cannot break free from the shackles that have her bound. Her name is Hagar. Hagar is a servant girl of a woman by the name of Sarai. You Bible readers will remember that Sarai is the wife of a man named Abram. Both of their names will ultimately be changed in the Bible. Abram's name is going to be changed to Abraham. Sarai's name will be changed to Sarah. Sarai, the Bible lets us know, she had a young servant girl in her house named Hagar. You Bible readers will remember that Abraham and Sarah were without child, but God had made them a promise that they would have a child. And because it seemed that the divine had delayed, they took matters. Don't that sound like us? They took matters into their own hands, and they said that they would help God out. Where are my folk that don't mind you messed up real bad when you try to help God out? Come on, where are my folk who know God can handle it better by himself? Amen. They said they're going to help God out because things weren't going the way they wanted them to go. So Sarai comes up with this unique idea that she would go to Abram and tell Abram that since God's promises aren't coming to pass as quickly as we thought they would, and since I'm old and you older, we need to help God out. So she told Abram, she said, go in and conceive with my servant girl, Hagar. Sleep with her, and that will be the child that God promised us. And y'all know Abram being an old man.
Hello.
Sarai is a PYT. Some of y'all out here, man, y'all don't know nothing about Michael Jackson. PYT, that's pretty young thing. Now he's an old man, and his wife comes in and recommends. Go in and amen. And can I tell y'all something? Abram did not object at all. As a matter of fact, he said, you sure? You sure? Amen. All right. All right. Amen. Because you said it. And so they did it. Amen. And Hagar has a child. And the Bible says that after Hagar gets pregnant, amen, she started to tease and taunt Sarai. The text doesn't tell us how she went about teasing and taunting Sarai. Maybe she was walking around, you know, she was showing, and maybe she told Sarai, you can't have a child, but I can. We don't know exactly how she teased or taunted her, amen, but whatever she was doing got on Sarai's nerves. And Sarai eventually went to Abram and said, look, amen, she ain't got to go home. No, I didn't say all that. I just go say she got to get up out of here. Yeah. Some of y'all need a little more salvation. Amen. And the Bible says that Hagar ultimately leaves that house. She runs away. The text that we just read catches up with her while she's in desperation. She's in isolation. She is out there by herself having a pity party. She's frustrated by the circumstances of her life. Has anyone ever been there? Where the circumstances of your life pushed you to a point where you were so frustrated that you could only hang your head in shame? Have you ever been there when the circumstances of life frustrated you so much that you did not have a good word to say about anything? Well, that's where we find Hagar in our text. She is in the desert. She is upset. And y'all, she's by herself. But thank God. I said, thank God. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord shows up and began to minister to her. I like that. I like that. I like that. That God will find you in your desolate place. I like it. I like it that God will show up in your desert circumstances. I don't know about you, but I like that. Amen. When you think you're all by yourself, when you think you're down to your last dime, when you think that nobody else is on your side, why don't you shout with me and say, God will show up. God shows up in her desolate situation, and listen to what the angel of the Lord says to Hagar. Y'all, he asked her two questions. I want you to think about these two questions. He asked her, number one, where did you come from? And where are you going? Where did you come from? Come on, think about you. And where are you going? I believe that if you can get the answers to those two questions right, you'll be able to count your blessings. You will realize that your blessings far outweigh your burdens. When you realize where you've come from and then realize where you're going, you will realize that you have a whole lot to thank God for. Woo. The first thing the text teaches us is that, amen, you have a rewarding foundation in your past. Now think about your own past. Think about your own past. Amen. Can I say it like this? You did not get to where you are by yourself. You didn't make it to where you are today on your own. You did not get here in isolation. There is someone that was praying for you. There's someone that came before you. You have to look back every now and then, because if you look back, you will see that there are some people in your past who have sacrificed so that you can have what you're enjoying right now. There are some people in your past who went without so that you could have. I thank God today that my mother is alive and well today. Because right here I can testify that I didn't get to where I am by myself. My mother sacrificed a whole lot. My father sacrificed a whole lot so I could have some things that they couldn't have when they were children. I never will forget my daddy saying, I don't want you to ever have to work as hard as I had to work. And my mother said the same thing. You see, they grew up having to pick cotton and sharecropping and all of that kind of stuff. I remember my daddy getting up every morning at 4 a.m. to drive out to Fort Polk to the Army Medical Center, where he worked in the cafeteria as a dietitian. I remember when he'd come home and it's all white and he would be tired, but he maybe needed just a little bit more money to give Joe Boy just a little bit something else. He'd take off his white, he'd put on his dirty clothes and go out and work on lawnmowers and fix lawnmowers to make a few extra dollars to help make ends meet. I remember my mother on her job when the folk were trying to make her quit. They wanted somebody else to have her job. They overloaded her with work. And I remember at night when I'd be studying, she'd have all these files at the table because she refused to give up. She refused to let them make her quit. And I thank God today that I'm standing on the promise. I'm standing on the promise. of Christ, my King. Is there anybody in here that can look back on your life? You can remember a mama or a daddy or a grandma or a big mama or a mud deer who sacrificed so you can walk around with your nose in the air today. I've come by to tell us that when we count our blessings, we need to remember where we came from. We need to remember who helped us get here. Do I have a witness today? There are some people in your past who went without so that you could have. There are some people in your past who didn't sleep so you can rest well. There are some people in your past who worked with their hands so you could work with your mind. And I dare you, I double dare you to thank God for a foundation that was laid in your past. Every now and then you got to think about those men and women in your family, your teachers, some principals, some people who paved the way, who laid the foundation so you could be blessed today. Every now and then you ought to think about it. Is there anybody here who's grateful that God blessed you with people in your past that you may not have even known, but you realize that you didn't make it this far by yourself? The angel said, "Hey, God, where are you coming from?" Thank you, God. And so that's the first thing I want to share with you today, is that as you ought to be able to count your blessings, number one, when you remember where you came from. Because you ain't always been sitting pretty. You ain't always been able to put on a three-piece suit. Some of you couldn't put on a two-piece suit. Where y'all at? Oh, this is the Buckingham Palace crew. See, there are some folk up in here that don't mind testifying. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. Amen. Not only did my mama and daddy have to struggle, I had to struggle. Come on. Where are my folk who will testify that, amen, there's been some struggle in your life too? But you are where you are today because the Lord God was there with you. Give him praise in this place. So that's the first thing. You have a rewarding foundation, first of all, in your family. Amen. But not only do you have a rewarding foundation in your family, if you are where God wants you to be, many of us have to testify that we also have a rewarding foundation in our faith. See, I thank God for Pleasant Hill. I could call the roll. I remember Roosevelt Edison. I remember Julia Shade. I remember Cora Wilson. I remember, amen, Sister Maggie Freeman. I remember, amen, I'm looking over here at these deacons, and I have to always remind myself that life is real short. Because, brothers, where you're sitting, just a few years ago, somebody else was sitting there. Hamp Smith, Philip Gunn, amen. I could go on, Brother Rudolph Ellis. I could go on, amen. Somebody else was sitting here. And guess what? In a little while. I said in a little while. Choir, that includes you too. I can remember Margaret Upshaw. I can call the roll. I remember Silver Lee Cherry. Amen. Some of you are sitting in spots where other folk have sat and they've gone on. And guess what? In a little while, we're going to be moving on. And that's why we've got to do the work of him that sent us while it is day. We don't have time to have a pity party. We ought to give God our very best. We ought to give God our very best praise. Got a rewarding past in my family. Got a rewarding past in my faith. Not only Pleasant Hill folk I could call. I could call up the Mary Bethune, and I could call up Harriet Tubman, and I could call up George Washington Carver, and I could call up Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Come on, how many of you realize that you're standing on the shoulders of a whole lot of folk? Thank God for your past. But then finally, the angel not only asked her, "Where have you come from?" The text also asks her, "Where are you going?" So y'all, not only do we have a rewarding foundation in our past through our family and our faith, we also have a rewarding future. How many of you believe you've got a rewarding future? I like to tell our young people
to dream big. Don't just have mediocre dreams. Dream big. Think about where you're going. Have big dreams. That was a question that I would often be asked when I was a child, and I'm sure that many of you were asked the same question.